say, Father, the things that You would have me to say. Lord, help us to be able to leave here this morning knowing that we've heard from You, knowing that we've heard from Your Word, and not leave here the same way that we came. Father, we love You. Thank You for allowing us to be able to worship You and to learn from You. In Your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're there in Joshua chapter 17, and like we already talked about, today is a very special day. Today is a very special day. It's a sad day because today will be the last service that we spend in this building. And not only that, but today is also a special day because we're receiving a special offering to be able to help with the cost of moving into the new building. And of course, there's, you got to pay the first month's rent, and you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to put in your security deposit, and all those things cost money. And we're taking a special offering. We talked about that last week. I don't want to talk about that a lot today. But what I do want to bring to your attention is that today is also a very crucial day. And the reason that it's a crucial day is because today, you may not really realize it, you may not really understand it, you may not really care, really. But today, Verity Baptist Church is on the verge of either doing more and accomplishing more and taking the next step and really going to the next level of the things that God would have us to do, or we begin to take the steps that will lead to the failure of this church. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to explain to you that every time you take a step by faith and every time you take a step by growth, you will either succeed with the power of God or Satan will stop you in your tracks and cause you to fail. And I want us this morning, as quickly as possible, to study a group of people in the Old Testament who also came to the same crossroads. If you're there in Joshua 17, I want you to look down at verse number 14. Joshua 17. And verse number 14, the Bible says, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua." Now the book of Joshua is all about, remember, the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt. God sent a man by the name of Moses to bring them out, to deliver them out of that captivity. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua, after the death of Moses, was raised up and he led the children into the promised land. And if you remember, they began to conquer the land. And they began to take over. And they began to do that which God had called them to do, to conquer the land there. And at the end of the book of Joshua, we find that they're kind of wrapping things up and they're getting ready to be done. The land has been divided into the different tribes of Israel. And in verse 14, the Bible says, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying," now notice what they said. They said, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people?" They said, look, we are a big tribe of Israel. Ephraim was actually the largest tribe in Israel. And they said, "Why have you given us one portion?" Now, we would look at that and say, well, listen, tribe, every tribe got one portion. It was divided into equal portions. But they said, look, we are a great people. Now, I want you to understand this, okay? At first, when you read that, you think to yourself, like, man, these people are kind of arrogant. They have kind of some pride, you know? They say, look, we deserve more. We need more. But I want you to understand, okay? They weren't coming off with a bad attitude. Notice the last part of verse 14. They said, we are a great people. We need more than one lot. Here's why. For as much. You see that word? For as much as the Lord has blessed me hitherto. Do you see the word hitherto? The word hitherto means up to this point. Here's what they were saying. They were asking this question. They're saying, look, God has blessed us up to this point. God has increased us up to this point. God has met our need up to this point. They said, we are bigger than the land that You've given us. We are greater than the position that You've given us. And they were saying, we're not satisfied. Now, you got to understand this, okay? They were not saying we're not satisfied, as in we're not content with what God has given us. But they were saying, we're not satisfied with the idea of we're not complacent. Here's what they were saying. They were saying we are not happy with what we've achieved. They were saying we want more. They didn't have a bad attitude. They were saying, look, God has blessed us. And you know what? At Verity Baptist Church, Verity, some of you may or may not know this, Verity Baptist Church started just a little bit over 3 years ago. Can you believe that? 3 years ago, there was this location, this church, this called out assembly of believers did not exist. And 3 years ago, my wife and I came to Sacramento and began to hold services in our living room. and began knocking on doors. Some of you were there in those first days when we were in the house. Do you remember that? And I remember we would knock on doors and invite people to church and preach the gospel. And I remember my wife and I, we would sit around and wonder, do you think we'll ever have a day when we'll have 10 people come to church? And then after that, we would ask, do you think we'll ever have 20 people come to church? And we went from there to the first building, outgrew that in a year. We went there to this building. We've only been in this building since July of last year. Outgrew it in more than a year. And the thing with church, you got to understand that once you get to, you know, my idea is this. If I've got 80 chairs, I should be able to sit 80 people. That's not how it works. If you've got 80 chairs, you can fill that up to about 70% capacity. And then people start leaving because it's uncomfortable. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes God's blessings are uncomfortable. These people said, look, God has blessed us. God has grown us. And the portion that you've given us, they're saying, it's not comfortable. We want more. And there's nothing wrong with having that attitude. You got to understand this. Sometimes God's blessings make us uncomfortable. We can get, you know, right now, I don't know how many people we have in here. Somebody will tell me after the service. But we've had 85 people in church, and it's pretty uncomfortable. And we're not going to continue to grow and continue to reach the people that we need to reach and preach the gospel in this community of Jesus Christ if we don't have the place to be able to bring those people to teach them about the Bible, to preach the gospel to them. And sometimes you say, you know, we associate being uncomfortable with a negative thing. But sometimes God's blessings will make you uncomfortable. I'm here to tell you, sometimes God is blessing you in the midst of your inconvenience. And let me just give you a hint to the Christian life. God does not want us to get too comfortable. Sometimes people come to very bad churches and say, every time I come to church, the pastor, you know, he says something that upsets me. Somebody said this. The job of a pastor, let me explain something to you. The job of a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. You're either being comforted by me because you're being afflicted, or I'm afflicting you because you're too comfortable. And the truth, you know, I said this on Wednesday night. Some people say, I wish I just went to church. I wish that pastor would encourage me. You know, here's the thing. Your life's a mess. The last thing you need is someone to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing.
That's right.
What you need is the Word of God. What you need is to learn what God expects from you. And someone, look, I'm here to love you and I'll comfort you. And I preach an encouraging sermon once a year. But I'm here to tell you that what we need is the Word of God. And oftentimes, the Word of God is correcting us.
Amen.
Thank you.
You say, every time I leave Verity Baptist Church, I'm mad. Then I've done my job.
That's right.
I'm not here to make friends.
That's right.
You say, Pastor, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to preach the Word of God. The Bible says to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering. Hey, I'll love you. I'll pray for you. But I'm here to preach the Word.
Amen. Thank you, God.
And sometimes when you're the most uncomfortable, you're right in the midst of the blessings of God.
Come on.
But often we don't realize it.
Yes,
these people said, I was given me but one lot and one portion. Say, we are great people. They said, the Lord has blessed me hitherto. These people wanted more. Look down at your Bibles. Look at Joshua 17. Look at verse 15. And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the woods country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Look at verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, look what they said. I like this attitude. They said, the hill is not enough for us. They said, look, we want more. We don't just want the land you've given us. We don't just want this little hill. They said, that's not enough. We've got a vision. We think that we can do better. We think that we can do bigger. They said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Hey, look, would to God that some people in this church sitting under my preaching right now would get in their heart just a dissatisfaction with life as it is and just want to seek and accomplish more for God.
Amen.
You got to understand this. The Christian life is always about doing more. Keep your finger there in Joshua. That's the text for this morning. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I would put a bulletin or a ribbon or something in 1 Corinthians because we're going to come back to it later in the message as well. 1 Corinthians 15. You got to understand this. You say, Pastor Menace, I came a long way. Hey, praise the Lord for it. God has done a great work in my life. Hey, praise God for it. God, if you would have seen me a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, man, you would realize how much God has done. Hey, praise God for it. But the Christian life is always do more, accomplish more.
Right.
You're never done growing. You said, when will I be done? When you're in your glorified body in the presence of God, that's when you'll be done. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Look at verse number 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, this is what Paul said. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable. But notice what he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word abounding means to be very plentiful. He said, you should be steadfast. He said, you should be unmovable. Hey, some of you need to learn that word, unmovable. I'm not going to get moved. I'm not going anywhere. This is where I'm staying, in the will of God. I'm not going back to the world. I'm not going back to how I used to be. I'm unmovable. But look, while you're being immovable, like Paul said, either while you're being immovable, also be always abounding. Always accomplishing more. Always doing more. It's time to take Verity Baptist Church to the next level and always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Now you may ask, well, how do we take BBC? How do we take this church to the next level? You got to understand this. The way we take this church to the next level is by taking you to the next level. See, you say, well we're going to take Verity Baptist Church to the next level. Here's how we'll take Verity Baptist Church to the next level. We take you to the next level. Because you got to understand this. Verity Baptist Church is not a building. A church is not a building, it is not a roof, it is not a parking lot. A church is a congregation of believers.
Man.
You don't have to turn here, but let me just read a few verses for you. If you'd like to write these down in your notes, you can reference them later. Psalm 22 says this, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Now, in the New Testament, Psalm 22:22 is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. So in Hebrews 2:12, we have a quote from Psalm 22:22. Psalm 22:22 says this, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Hebrews 2:12 says it like this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So in the Old Testament, it says in the midst of the congregation. In the New Testament, it says in the midst of the church. You say, why is that? Because a congregation is a church. That's why it's quoted that way. A church, you got to say, a church is a group of believers coming together to listen to preaching, to sing praises to God, to worship God. A guy called me. He said, I saw your website on the internet. I was thinking of visiting. But are you one of these churches? Are you like in a real church building? Or are you in a storefront? I said, listen, I don't think our church is a place for you. Why is that? Because, you know, really, our church is for people that love God and love the Word of God. If you're trying to be impressed by a building, you might want to find somewhere else. Because you got to understand, people get this idea. A church is a building. A church is stained glass windows. A church is a steeple. No, a church is a group of believers coming together, and they can meet in a house. They can meet in a storefront building. They can meet in an industrial park. They can meet under a tree somewhere. When two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, I will be there. That's what church is. It's a group of people. So if we're going to take Verity Baptist Church to the next level, guess what? We're going to take you to the next level.
Thank you, God.
There's a well-known church in this area. I won't call their name out because some of you will get offended. And I offended you last week, so I won't offend you this week. There's a well-known church in this area. Every time I drive by it, I always chuckle. Because I drive by and I look over and they got this big, beautiful building and they got, you know, the windows where you can look into the foyer. I always chuckle because it always they have this big thing that says, building the people that build the church. And I always think, wow, that's deep. But really, you know what? That lets you know that there's a wrong philosophy there. Because this is what they're saying. We're going to build the people that build the church. This is what they're saying. We're going to build the people that are going to build nice buildings for us. We're going to build the building that's going to, you know, make the pastor rich. We're going to build the people that are going to build this empire. Let me tell you something. You don't build the people to build the church. You build the people who are the church. You understand that? We're going to build the people to build the church. No, the people are the church. When you build the church, you build the people.
Amen.
Look, let the buildings go by the wayside. Who cares about buildings? Who cares about vehicles? Who cares about money? It's helping people. That's what it's about.
Right.
Pastor Jimenez, are you going to build the people to build the church? No, I'm going to build the people. And that is the church. We're going to help you. Because to take this church to the next level, guess what? We got to take you to the next level. We're not a building. We're not a location. Look, we're going to a nice building. We're going to the nicest building we've ever been in. I mean, I'm going to feel awkward coming in. But I'm here to tell you, a church is not a building. A church is a group of people. And when God wants to take a church to the next level, here's how He's going to do it. He's going to take individuals individual families, people to the next level. Now you got to understand this, okay? These people wanted more. I said, point number one, they were not satisfied at their level. They were not satisfied with what they had achieved. They wanted to go to the next level. But you got to understand this. Whenever you decide to take a chance to step out by faith, there are obstacles to going to the next level. As soon as you decide, I'm going to try to do more, I'm going to try to accomplish more, there's always going to be something that is trying to stop you. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 15, but go to Joshua chapter 17. Go back to Joshua 17. Look at verse number 15. I want you to see this. Joshua 17, 15. Whenever you go to the next level, look, there's going to be opposition. Whenever you go to the next level, there's going to be someone, something trying to stop you. Right? I want you to understand this, okay? Joshua says in verse number 15, Joshua 17, 15, look what it says. And Joshua answered them. Now notice what he says. Because they came and they said, look, we're great people. You know, we need more. God has blessed us. One lot is not enough. One portion is not enough. Now I like how Joshua answers them. Verse 15. And Joshua answered them. Now notice what he says. If thou be a great people. He says, if you're as good as you think you are, then get thee up to the wood country. He said, go to the forest. He said, look, you want a farm? That's okay. I'll give you a forest. And notice what he says. Cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. If Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. He said, look, if the portion we gave you is too small, I'll give you more land. Well, what would you like? Oh, we just envisioned this nice valley where we, you know, maybe a little creek where we could have a little farm. And he says, okay, well, here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you this thick forest over there and you can make a farm out of it. You're just going to have to cut all those trees down. What was Joshua saying? Joshua said, if you want more, you're going to have to work for it. Joshua said, you can have more. God is not limited. You can do more. But you're going to have to do your part. The Bible calls us co-laborers with God. Here's the commitment I'd like to make to you, Verity Baptist Church. As we go into this new phase of ministry, we go into this new building, we're going to attempt to reach more people, we're going to attempt to do... Look, I promise you, as pastors of this church, we will attempt to continue to preach biblical messages to help you with your marriage, to help you with your finances, to help you with raising your children, to help you to learn to love God and know God and grow in God and accomplish more in your life. But I'm also here to tell you that you're going to have to step it up and you're going to have to do work. A great marriage requires work. Raising great children requires work. Being used of God to reach people requires work. Joshua says, hey, you want more? Go at it! But you're going to have to work for it. You got to understand this. Wait, did you keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 15? Go back to verse 9. I think I told you to keep your finger or something there. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 9. You got to understand this. You got to understand this. And this is a common theme in my sermons because it's something our society needs. The secret to success is one word. Work. If you're going to have a successful marriage, you will have to put work into that marriage. It will not just happen. If you're going to raise children for the glory of God that are going to go out of your house serving God, loving God, it's not going to happen by mistake. You're going to have the purpose in your heart and in your life to work at raising those kids for the glory of God. If you're going to live for God, it's not going to happen by mistake. You're going to have to work at it. The secret to success is work. Are you there in 1 Corinthians 15? Look at verse 9. Look at what Paul said. Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 says, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 says, for I am the least of the apostles. Now Paul says, look, I'm the least of the apostles. He said, I'm the worst one. He said, I don't even think about me. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet. The word meet means suitable. He says, I'm not even suitable to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Here's what Paul is saying. Do you understand what Paul is saying right now? Paul is saying, I'm an apostle, but he said, if you knew my history, he said, if you knew my past, if you knew what I've done. Remember, Paul, before he was Saul, before he was Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church. He said, look, I'm an apostle. He's like, but I'm the least of the apostles. He said, look, I persecuted the church. He said, if you know my past, if you knew the things I'd done, if you knew when Jesus was on this earth, I didn't follow him. When Jesus was on this earth, I was against him. In fact, when he descended up, I persecuted the church. He said, I watched Stephen get stoned. He said, I'm the worst of the apostles. Look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's a good attitude. And he said, I've got a bad past, but by the grace of God, what I am now, I am because of the grace of God. For His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But, now notice what the apostle says. Here's the secret to the success of the apostle Paul's life. The man, other than Jesus Christ, who had more people saved, who had more churches started, who did the greatest ministry on this earth. And here is his secret. He said, I had a bad past. He said, I am the least of the apostles. He said, some people, do you understand this? Some people did not even consider Paul an apostle. Some of the letters is Paul defending himself, defending his apostleship. Because he said, you're not an apostle. You're Saul. They kept bringing up his past to him. But notice what he said. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Eventually, Menes, you think that Verity Baptist Church is going to do anything in the Natomas area, Sacramento area, for the gospel of Jesus Christ? You really think this little church, meeting in this little storefront building, with your little soul winners, with your little lack of finances, do you understand that? You say, why are you guys taking a special offering? Do you understand that Verity Baptist Church is not associated with any denomination? We don't have anybody sending us any checks for anything. Whenever I check the mail, all I get is bills. There's nobody, there's no Mr. Moneybags down at the convention sending us anything. You say, you really think you're going to accomplish something for God? I mean, look at your church, and look at the people there, and look at the history, and look at what you guys have done. I mean, you really think God's going to do? Here's what I'm doing. We may not have more money than other churches. We may not have more finances. We may not have more talent. Maybe your pastor's not as good looking, or as tall, or as whatever. maybe you're like, well, our pastor, you know, he's not that, you know. You got to come here and preach. Sometimes he says things, and... He's not Joel Osteen.
Amen.
You say, well, what are you going to do? Well, here's the thing. I can't make up for how much money we got. I can't make up for my height. I can't make up for my talent. But you know what I can do is work harder than anybody else.
Right.
You know what you can do is work hard. Look, at the job, you want to be successful, you want to get the raise. You say, well, these people, they've got these college degrees, and they've got this, and they got that, and they were rich. You just outwork them. You want the success the secret to success at your job? Show up an hour early, stay an hour late, work through your lunch. I promise you, God will bless you. Promise, you're the guy that's, you know, coming in late from lunch all the time. And you wonder why the guy that doesn't speak English got the raise. He shows up on time, that's why. You guys like Joel Osteen. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Go look at verse 58. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. We saw this verse earlier. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the, let's say this word together, work. Always abounding in the work. Let's say it one more time. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. I'm here to tell you, we may not be able to do a lot of extra things around here, but here's what we can do. We can work harder than anyone else. We can spend hours out knocking doors. We can preach the gospel. We can love people. We can pray for people. We can call people. Hey, you say, well, your pastor isn't very good. I can labor more abundantly than they are. That's what I can do. You know, let me just ask our soul winners a question. I don't understand why we can have somebody drive an hour and 2 hours from different areas in Sacramento on a Saturday morning to come soul winning in Sacramento, and the people that live in Sacramento don't want to show up for soul winning. Why is it that the people that live in this community, as opposed to, we live in this community, we want to reach this community, and we have to have people drive from San Jose and Manteca and Placerville to preach the gospel in our community? That doesn't make any sense. I'm here to tell you, we need to step it up. Some of you would do good to read 9 chapters a day the rest of the year. Some of you would do good to show up tonight and learn how to develop a good habit so you can learn how to pray. Some of you would do good to show up tonight and learn how to develop a good habit to learn how to get up early and work hard and stay late and go out soul winning and love God and love people and love your family. I'm here to tell you, if we're going to take it to the next level, you're going to have to take it to the next level. But as long as we're just kind of like, well, you know, I'm just kind of, that's what you accomplish in life. Nothing. There will be opposition. It will be hard. So, Pastor Jimenez, I'm really interested in that character series, but why did you do it on a Sunday night? Because it requires character for you to show up on a Sunday night. I really want to learn about that. Then you better just discipline yourself and control yourself to get up. You say, well, I think I'm not. Then set an alarm. There will be opposition. Go to Joshua, look at 17, look at verse number 16. Joshua 17, look at verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley," I want you to see this, okay? I just want you to see this. "All the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron." Do you see that? They said, "Well, not only is it going to be a lot of work because we've got to cut all these trees out, but then we've got to go fight these people. And they don't just have normal chariots. Their chariots are of iron." I'm here to tell you, if you're going to try to accomplish something for God, it's going to require work and there's going to be opposition. There will always be opposition. For Moses, it was the Red Sea. Remember Moses? He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, had a great victory. They were all rejoicing. And what's the first thing they meet on their way out? The Red Sea. And the armies of Pharaoh coming up behind them. There's always going to be opposition. Joshua crossed the Jordan River, and what's the first thing he meets? The walls of Jericho. Gideon had 300 soldiers. The only problem is, the other guys had a multitude. They couldn't even count their camels. Their camels were without number. And he had 300 soldiers. David had Goliath. Jesus Christ had death and hell. But I'm here to tell you, with Christ we can accomplish anything. You said, well, we've got opposition. So, Pastor, you understand, the red over there is a lot higher than it is over here. Hey, God can deal with it. I'm not worried about it. God can do it. If he can part the Red Sea, if he can bring down the walls of Jericho, if he can cause 300 men to cause thousands of men to run and hide, if he can take a little boy like David and kill a strong man like Goliath, hey, God can do whatever he wants. I'm here to tell you, there will always be opposition. There will always be a giant. That, and by the way, you just got to understand this. In your marriage, there will always be opposition. 60% of marriages end in divorce because people see the Goliath on the other side and run. Raising your children, there will always be opposition. It's called 13. I'm just here to tell you, if something's worth doing, it's worth fighting for. Now, here's what's interesting. They have the chariots of iron, right? Go to Judges chapter 4. This time I really do mean Judges. Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. I want you to see this. If you don't catch anything else in the sermon, catch this point, okay? Judges 4, look at verse number 13. Judges 4:13. They said, they've got chariots of iron. They've got chariots, and their chariots, they're iron, and I don't know if we can do this. Judges chapter 4, look at verse 13. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900, look what it says here, Judges 4:13, even 900 chariots of, what's that say? Iron. Do you see that? And all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, "Up, for this is the day which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. Look at verse 15. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his what? Chariots. What were those chariots? Of iron. And all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down of all the chariots and fled away of his feet. I'm here to tell you, if God, here's what you got to understand, okay? Just understand this in your life. If anyone has ever faced what you're facing and came out victorious, then you can do it too. God is no respecter of persons. If other people have been able to conquer drugs and alcohol, guess what? You can do it too.
Amen.
If other people have been able to turn their lives around, then you can do it too. Amen. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. God wants to use you as much as He wanted to use Paul. But He wanted to use Moses and Joshua and Gideon. Go back to Joshua 17. Look at verse 17. We're almost done. Joshua 17, verse 17. Joshua 17, verse 17. I want you to see this. The passage kind of turns a little bit here, and notice what Joshua says to them. Joshua 17:17. And Joshua spake unto the house, because remember early in the passage you said, if you are a great people, if you're as good as you think you are. But notice what he says now in verse 17. Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, look what he says. Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. See, they came to Joshua saying, we want more. Are you catching the story? They said, God has blessed us. We want more. We want to accomplish more. And then Joshua says, okay, well, if you want more, you're going to have to cut down those trees to get it. And then they start making excuses. Well, you know, I don't know, because they do have those chariots of iron. And then Joshua comes back and says, no, you are a great people. Thou art a great people. Thou hast great power. Thou shalt not have one law only. See, you got to understand this. You I'm talking about Verity Baptist Church, are a great people. You say, why? Because you are God's people. Amen. See, the enemy comes alongside of you. Satan, the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He comes up beside you and he says, you're a loser. You can't accomplish anything. Why even trying? Look at your past. Look at what you've done. And here's the thing. Without Christ, he would be absolutely right. Without Christ, every one of us is a failure and a sinner on their way to hell. But guess what? With Jesus Christ, I am victorious. But Jesus Christ, you know, you say, well, I'm just a sinner. In Christ, I am everything that God wants me to be. See, any value that you have is in the identity of Christ. And when you are in Christ, you are a valuable person. You are a great individual. You are, why? Because you are God's people, that's why. We don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live, you know, in bondage. We can live a victorious Christian life because with Christ, I can accomplish anything.
Amen.
See, you got to understand this. Look at verse 18. Here's what Joshua says to him. Joshua 17, verse 18. We're almost done. Joshua 17, verse 18. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down. He says, you're going to get it done. And the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites. Notice, I love this. Though they have iron chariots, though they be strong. He says, look, I know they have iron chariots. He says, I know they are strong. He says, I know it's going to be work, but you're going to get it done. Here's why. Don't forget the God factor. You think we can really accomplish what you think we can accomplish? Not without God, but as long as God is for us, who can be against us? You really think you can help my marriage, Pastor? I can't help your marriage, but God can. Right. You really can help me raise my rebellious children and teach them to love God? I can't, but the Word of God can. Right. God is the factor that we often forget about. I know Goliath is big. There's no human possibility that David could kill Goliath. But when God steps in, he can. You understand this? Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. You understand that the way Verity Baptist Church has church, it is literally impossible to grow a church the way we do it. What are you talking about? No Sunday school, no nursery, old hymns, sing for 10 minutes, preach for an hour, and make you upset. And then we're going to take an offering and say we need $10,000. That's impossible. That doesn't work. Say, how does it work? You tell parents, well, don't teach your kids. Don't have to discipline your kids and teach them how to sit still in church. Give us your bride and we'll go take care of them so you can relax. And then we're going to sit here and we're going to sing music that reminds you of your hippie days when you were high on drugs. And then the pastor, he's going to get up. He's only going to talk for 5 minutes and he's only going to talk about love. God loves you. I know you're living in fornication, but God loves you. I know you got high before you came to church, but God loves you.
Pastor Mez gets up and says, God loves you, but he doesn't like you.
You think, oh, I don't know about that. God doesn't like you. God doesn't like you the way you are. He's working on you. Are you there in Matthew chapter 19? Look at verse 26. You say, how are you going to build a church like this? I'm not going to build it. God will.
That's right.
Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain to build it. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm not trying to build this church. I'm trying to preach God's word and let God do it. And by the way, if we fail, then God failed because God's the one that builds it. Matthew 19:26. I want you to understand this. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Don't forget the God factor. Don't forget the God factor. Keep your finger there in Matthew. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Look, we're going to go to Philippians 4. Then we're going to go back to Matthew. We'll be done. Philippians 4. We'll go back to Matthew. And we'll be done. Philippians 4, verse 13. Famous, famous verse. I want you to see it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. We'll look at Philippians. We'll go back to Matthew. And we'll be done. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says this. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. Philippians 4, 13. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Here's a question, though. What can Christ do through me? See, I know that I can do all things through Christ, but what can Christ do through me? Go to Matthew 13. All right, let me show you what I'm talking about. Matthew 13, look at verse 57. Matthew 13, verse 57. Matthew 13, this is the last passage we'll look at. Matthew 13, verse 57. Remember, Jesus was going around healing everybody, casting out demons. making the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. Well, notice what happens in Matthew 13:57. And they were offended at him. He got done preaching and they were mad. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. Jesus was in his hometown and they didn't like his sermon. Jesus was in his hometown and they didn't like his ministry. Now look at what it says in verse 58. And he, this is Jesus we're talking about, God in the flesh, the Word became flesh, God manifest in the flesh, Almighty, all power, the beginning, the ending, the Alpha, the Omega. And he, look what it says, did not many mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief. Now, as you remember, God can do anything. God can do anything, but he's got to be able to use you to do it. Jesus shows up to town, and guess what? He's been healing people. He's been performing miracles. He's been preaching great sermons like we saw on Wednesday night, the Sermon on the Mount. He's been doing all these things. He shows up to his own town, and he can't do it. He doesn't do anything. Doesn't heal anybody. Then why? Because they didn't believe on him. So you ask this question. Pastor Jimenez, are you worried that you won't be able to bring in $10,000? Are you worried that you won't, you'll go to this new building and the church will fail and the church will crumble? You're worried about that? Well, here's the thing. Look, all I can worry is about myself. I know this. I've stretched myself. My wife and I have spent time praying and stretching ourselves and sacrificing. Even this week, we upped the amount that we were going to give to the offering. I know this. I've sought God's will and tried to do everything that I can, but I can't be accountable for what you do. You'll stand before Christ for what you did in your life. So, well, do you think that God can do it? I think God can do anything, but understand this. If we fail, if we go to this new property and everything falls apart, I know this, it will not be because God couldn't do it. It will be allow God to do it through us. God doesn't fail. I can do all things through Christ. The question is this, what can Christ do through me? Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that there is a place that still emphasizes the Word of God, still emphasizes biblical preaching. And we're not better than other people, Lord, but we're trying to please you. And Father, I pray that you would please bless the next few moments as we take a special offering. Lord, that your will would be done, and that you would accomplish that which you would have for us to do. Lord, I pray that all of us would make ourselves available to serve you, to love you. Lord, I pray that none of us would be complacent, but all realizing, man, I could do so much more. I could accomplish so much more. Father, we love you. Help this church at this junction to take the next step, to go to the next level. And what I mean by that is that mothers here would get more serious about rearing their children. That fathers here would get more serious about being the spiritual leader to their children, to their wives. That we would all step up our game in soul winning, in prayer time, in Bible reading. That we would take our lives to the next level. I can do all things through Christ. We love you, Lord. In your precious name I pray.